Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
And welcome to the Council of Trent podcast. It's Thursday. I don't really have a name for Thursday. I've given names to the other days of the week here. I mean, we've got Meet'em Mondays, Workshop Wednesday, Free For All Friday. I mean, I could do Thirsty Thursday, I guess, but, you know, we're not going out drinking or anything like that. But I have a friend who is far more experienced at taking a nice
Speaking of drinking,
guess who I have with us today? Guess who I have with us today is a special guest who is dropping by to talk with us about what he is doing to evangelize the world and to help people learn about one of the greatest saints, theologians, philosophers in the history of the church. His name is Matt Frad. He hosts the podcast Pints with Aquinas. Mr. Matt Frad, welcome to the Council of Trent.
It's so great to be with you. I have a bit of a cold, so I'll try not to cough too much. But no, it's super good to be with you. I love the name, by the way, the Council of Trent. That's awesome.
It's very providential. You know, people always talk about that names obviously have meanings. We talk about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're Matthew. Matthew is like gift from God. And people say, like, what does your name mean? And I'm like, well, my parents named me Trenton, and it means the capital of New Jersey. Like, I mean, I don't know. I have no other reason why they picked it. I think they saw it on a map, and they thought it was kind of distinguished.
Right.
And then they gave me a middle name that is not connected to anybody within my family, very vaguely, starts with the letter R. I'm not going to say what it is. That's a mystery to others who know me deeply. You'll never guess. And they said to me, well, we thought you would, you know, I'm like, why'd you give me this strange middle name? Like, well, we thought you'd go by TR. TR?
I mean,
I get JR or JD or TJ, but who's TR? So,
ATR.
Right. Now you're going to start doing it. So what I wanted to have you do to come on to talk about the podcast, I think with a lot of things that have been happening, you know, in the faith recently, and hopefully I'll come on your show soon to talk about the death penalty and the catechism and even things happening in Rome with the Pope. And I think a lot of people are searching for just, you know, kind of stable wisdom and understanding of the Catholic faith. And for a lot of people, especially people who are looking into the Catholic faith, both those who are in it and even those who are looking into it, they find a lot of comfort and wonder in the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas. And so you being someone who has started the going on now for, I think, about, you know, 2 years or so, the Pints with Aquinas
over
2 years. I thought it might be nice for us just to chat about that, why people find Thomas just be such an enduring figure, and why did you start a podcast devoted to his thought and his continuing influence?
Yeah, well, I mean, in no other figure do you see the church championing both faith and reason. You know, he really kind of marries the two, and I think people in this day and age are looking for reasonable foundations for the faith that they have, especially when they're challenged on things like the existence of God or why they believe the things that they believe. And Aquinas does a really great ninja-like job of addressing those questions. And, you know, what he does so great in the Summa and other works of his is he presents the objections to his position he wants to answer. And when you read those objections, you think, oh my gosh, like, that's a really good objection. I think it was Bertrand Russell who said that when he went to Aquinas, he knew that Aquinas was wrong and stupid and all that, but he found in Aquinas better formulations of his position in Aquinas than he had formulated. And these were positions Aquinas was going to respond to. But I mean, that's pretty respectable stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that it's so interesting. People, you know, they'll even come with these prejudices, and a lot of them, they'll hold on to them. But then when they start reading, if they at least have some kind of intellectual leaning, they will begin to see the depth and rigor of St. Thomas Aquinas' thought and be able to see, look, here's somebody who says, all right, here's what I believe. Here are the objections, but here are the replies. And honestly, here's something, an even stronger objection. And here's what's wrong with it. It's kind of like, I think what we see a lot today in online discourse is straw manning. I'm sure this has happened to you. It's happened to me. For our listeners who don't know what that is, a straw man fallacy is when you take the other guy's argument and to refute it, you make it weaker. You address a weaker version of the other person's argument to say, oh, great, they're refuted. So, you know, a straw man fallacy, an example of that might be that, you know, Catholics believe that the Pope is infallible. He can't do anything wrong. But look, here are popes who have done terrible things in the Middle Ages. So obviously the Catholic faith is wrong because this is a dogma they believe, but it's contradicted by evidence. Well, that's a straw man position because Catholics don't believe the Pope can't do anything wrong. They believe he can't formally bind the church to a moral or a theological error. So, and that happens all the time with lots of different things. You see straw manning. The opposite of straw manning, that a term I've seen used recently, is called steel manning. Mm-hmm. And so that is where you take the other guy's argument, you make it really strong, and then you still refute it. And I think you and I would agree when we see Thomas, this is not a guy into straw men. He's into steel men. He wants to give us the truth in a rigorous way.
Yeah, well, the thing that immediately comes to mind is Aquinas' argument against God from evil. It's three sentences, or four sentences. Here's what he says. It seems that God doesn't exist, because if one of two contraries be infinite, the other would be altogether destroyed. But the word God means that he's infinite goodness. If therefore God existed, there would be no evil discoverable. But there is evil in the world, therefore God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to say to our listeners, you know, like, okay, answer that, go. It's like, that's a difficult thing to answer. I mean, that's put very forcefully and very succinctly. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all respect somebody who does that. I think, imagine how our presidential debates would look if Trump had to, say, formulate his opponent's position fairly.
I would be the best at steel manning. I would build a steel man even taller than Trump Towers. And I tell you this, Matt, if I built this steel man, he would be made out of American steel. We'll bring back jobs to America. You'll be building so much steel for these steel men, you won't know how to handle it. It'd be huge, terrific, unbelievable. All the people will be so impressed. That's what I think would
happen.
Very good.
That's what I think. Very good. That is what would happen.
So, but I think that that's a lesson we can take from St. Thomas Aquinas even today, like for our listeners, my listeners, your listeners of this podcast, that when, you know, when we go out and we're, you know, engaging people on Twitter, on social media, Facebook, whatever it may be, try to keep that in mind when you want to show that somebody else is mistaken. I mean, it means a lot to people when you can say, I see you're saying this, but guess what? This is really the strongest version of what you're saying would be this. But here's what's wrong with even that. And it shows intellectual consistency and honesty and integrity. Like, you're not just some kind of salesperson. You're out here to figure out what the truth is. I think a lot of times, and maybe you can comment on this, people, you know, when we talk about the faith online, do podcasts, videos on theology or apologetics, critics treat us like we're used car salesmen. Like, our faith is basically just an old jalopy and it's falling apart under the hood. And we're trying to shift this lemon off to other people and hide all the dirty parts so nobody sees it. That's not how we want to come across to people, obviously.
No, spot on. I actually just had a porn performer stand up at my talk like last week. So mm-hmm. I was giving a talk in the Basilica in Baltimore. She stands up during the Q&A period, says she's a sex worker, stripper, porn performer. I'm like, oh, good. Here we go.
Right.
And then she proceeded to lay out all the reasons that I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was very respectful back and forth. But I, just like what you said there, I did two things that I'm happy about. You know, there's all sorts of mistakes that I make that I wish I didn't, but I think I handled this well.
Join the club, Matthew.
Right? So one of the things I said was I tried to reiterate her position as best as I could. So I said, okay, so what you're saying is, you know, and I laid it out and she agreed. So I think you're spot on right there. The second thing I'm glad that I did, and this might be a little off the topic, but as I said to her, I'll let you have the last word. And then I actually let her have the last word. So I let her speak. And I went, okay, well, thank you for the back and forth. And then I said, okay, in the name of the Father, and you know, we wrapped up the talk. But I think that too shows a lot of respect, where it's like, I'm not afraid of your position or your arguments, and it's okay that we disagree. And I was able to show why I disagreed, I think. But
No, I think that's a great lesson for all of us to take, especially, let's say you're online, you're on Facebook, you're in comments, you're a thread war, a flame war. There is that temptation to be like, oh, I got to get the last comment in, because if he has the last comment, that means he won. It's like,
We're so stupid. This is why Jesus had to come, because we're stupid.
No, that
proof of original sin.
Right. If this guy or girl, whoever you're, or they be, or gender non-binary, mm-hmm. whoever you're talking to, is able to leave the last comment, that does not prove that they are right. It just proves they have more time on their hands than you do. And that's why I don't really do a lot of engagement on social media in this way. I don't find it as productive. I want to talk, steering back to St. Thomas Aquinas a little bit about his influence on others, and how he can be, I think, a great resource to evangelize the faith to other people, is that his rigor is something that I think a lot of Protestants really enjoy seeing. Because, you know, when you're in the Protestant faith, you know, you study scripture, but you don't have this systematic framework for understanding theology, philosophy, how they fit together, how to answer different questions. Like, I was at a talk recently, I give a pro-life talk up in Vancouver, and I had dinner with the students there, and all but one of them were Catholic. One of them was a Reformed Protestant. And she said that she's just so depressed that so many Protestants she meet, they don't do bioethics, because they have no natural law framework for understanding ethics. They just, you know, appeal to the Bible and very, very general principles. There's a good book. I don't know if you've read it or if you've heard of it. It's called Evangelical Exodus by Douglas Beaumont. Are you familiar with it?
I haven't.
No. Okay. It's a great book that I would recommend for you and other listeners. It is Beaumont studied at Southern Evangelical Seminary, and that's where Norm Geisler teaches. Now, Norm Geisler has written lots on Protestant theology. He has a whole book with Ralph McKenzie critiquing the Catholic Church that's not super good. But Geisler calls himself an evangelical Thomist. So he likes St. Thomas Aquinas. And so the seminary he's involved with, Southern Evangelical Seminary, is just infused with the thinking of St. Thomas Aquinas all throughout it. And surprise, surprise, lots of people who go through that seminary as Protestants come out as Catholics, and their stories are in this book, Evangelical Exodus.
Well, I'll have to read it. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so I mean, that, and there's one other debate I'd recommend for you and others to listen to. So I'm going to be debating Dan Barker next week on the existence of God. So I've been studying his
This will be your second round, right?
Round two. I remember you came to round
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I was in the front row, baby. I landed in San Diego from some talk in the country and got in my Uber or whatever the equivalent was back then and said, drive, drive.
Right. And you get that there, you're in front, and you're just like, let's do this.
So
take his head off.
Yeah. That was so much fun.
I was glad you guys were there, because there were actually a bunch of rowdy atheists there too, more than I.
Yeah, they were. You know, one thing you did really well in that debate, Trent, is at one point, I think Dan Barker said something about pedophile priests, right?
Yes.
And there was like this, all the Catholics fell into this kind of groupthink, group response where we all went, oh, you know, we all got kind of upset with him. And you very rightly said, stop it, let him speak. Which was such a great witness to us.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
to the atheists.
I remember that. Yeah, that's coming back to me. I remember my rejoinder to Dan shortly after that. But yeah, when I heard that, it's just like, no, let him talk. Yeah, I'm definitely not a fan of, any kind of heckler's veto. And you see this all the time in universities. Where it's just the idea that I really, really don't like what this person says, so I'm just going to yell and shout and they're going to have to go away. And that is just a toddler response to something.
It is, yeah.
That's what a toddler does. I don't like this, so I'm going to yell and scream so I don't have to deal with it.
And so
I hate that. And normally it's people who would disagree with us who do the heckler's veto. But then, I'm just embarrassed if I see a Catholic do that. Like, don't do that. We're right. You know, let him speak and then refute the person. So the Barker debate, I've been studying for this, watching some of his recent debates. He did one with Richard Howe, H-O-W-E. And he is a professor of philosophy at Southern Evangelical Seminary. He wrote, his dissertation is a defense of Thomas's Second Way. Actually, so he knows Thomas backwards and forwards. And when you watch the debate, it is like watching an Ed Fazer kind of debate.
Really?
He's talking about essences and existence. And I'm like, wow, just hop over a little bit, man. But I can totally see where, and this is something so important for us to be able to share the faith, that a lot of times, like, I'll see Protestants who are talking about important issues, like, how can God become man, for example? And like, they'll just say, well, it's just, you know, it's a mystery. The Bible says it happened. And but how could that be? And then, but when you go into someone like St. Thomas Aquinas, when it comes to the incarnation or the Trinity, then you start getting these rigorous, robust answers and analogies that make everything come more into its fullness. I don't know if you've experienced this as well in all your studies of Thomas, taking something that, you know, seemed secondhand, but then you realize how much deeper and intellectually satisfying it is.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And this is one of the reasons I decided partly to do a podcast based around Thomas Aquinas. I knew that I would never run out of material. You know, that his Summa Theologiae, his most celebrated work, is like a great skyscraper, one floor built upon the other. It's a very intricate work. Maybe the theory of everything. I don't know. No, but you know, it really is terrific like that. And if you just open up the Sumer anywhere, you'll see articles. You're like, why does this even matter? Like, I don't get why this is even a point of interest. Mm-hmm. But the more you read, the more you study, you're like, oh, okay, here's why this matters, you know?
Right.
So he's such a clear thinker. I sometimes say, and this probably isn't a great analogy, but whereas Augustine is beautiful like a garden, Aquinas is sort of beautiful like a legal document can be beautiful sometimes. It's that it's so precise.
Or like a tower. Like you see, like architecture or something like that.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. It looks hard and cold at first, but you look at the intricacy that went into building it and keeping it up. Yeah.
Right. So like one is because in Thomas we see kind of this synthesis of truths coming together, and truths can be sometimes hard to penetrate and break through. But it almost like if you step back, it would look like a big, you know, ornate cathedral. And Augustine has that same ornateness in his writings, but it's almost like a vibrant, you know, field of flowers talking about our interaction with God, our restlessness to rest in him.
You have a poet and a scientist, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, when you read the hymns of Thomas Aquinas, you see that he's no less poetic than Augustine. It's just he writes differently for different things.
Right. And when you read Augustine on free will and also the eternity of God, you see that he's an incredibly bright mind. So, I mean, obviously, when you look at them, depending on the prism and depending sometimes when we read, do you find sometimes that when you read Thomas or read other church fathers, what you take from them really varies based on how you were when you came to them?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think one of the main obstacles people have to Thomas Aquinas is his Aristotelian metaphysical jargon.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't know just what you were mentioning a moment ago, like essences and nature and substance and all these sorts of things, then it can be really difficult to understand
him. Yeah. What do you think is a good first step to get into Thomas? Because I know some people here might say, I want to start reading this, and you can throw any shameless plugs you want. You are my guest. You're free to do that.
Here's the shameless plug. I wrote a little ebook you can get for free on pintswithaquinas.com. And it's called You Can Understand Aquinas, A Guide to Thomas's Metaphysical Jargon. Mm-hmm. And it's about 25, 30 pages. And I just go through all the different main kind of jargon from Aristotle and how Aquinas uses it.
What would be an example of one, a common one that you think trips people up that they need cleared up first before they can really get into Thomas?
So one thing that just came to mind would be essence and existence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you're not familiar with that language, you might not know why it matters.
Mm-hmm.
But for Aquinas, essence refers to what a thing is, and existence refers to that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And for Aquinas, God's essence, his whatness, is his thatness, you know, whereas that differs with every other creature, angels, stones, me, you know, we have essence and existence.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that because, you know, 400 years ago, let's do a better example. We know what a dinosaur is. We know its essence, but that doesn't mean that it exists automatically. So the two are separate.
Right.
And so that it comes into play with Aquinas' five ways when he says that God's essence is existence.
Right.
So that would be one example, yeah.
Right. And so I think what's hard for people, and it's important for them to have Thomistic philosophy in order to understand our faith, in order to interact with others and defend it, is I think a lot of people just have a Lego atomistic view of the world. The idea that, well, essence, that's just some weird medieval thing. There's only existence.
Yeah.
And existence happens when atoms come together to make things, just like Legos come together to make things. Like, there is no Lego essence of a castle. It's just the little Lego things put together and whatever. It doesn't matter. But we know deep down that things are not merely collections of atoms, that they're more than just the sum of their parts, that a chair is for something. Now, that's, of course, something, an artifact that we impose meaning on by constructing it. But when we look at the human body, for example, it's not an accident that eyes are for seeing, lungs are for breathing, reproductive organs are for reproducing. That when you see all these things, if you don't believe in essences, you can't ask questions like, you know, what is a, could there be a good tree, a good hammer, a good dog, or a good person? If you don't believe in essences, you can't really answer those questions. There's no standard.
Yeah, nor are they for anything.
Right.
So it's like the four causes of Aristotle get boiled down to maybe efficient and material.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just material.
Right. You know? And of course, the four causes are very important that I'm sure you go over in your book and in your podcast as well. So we are coming to an end for our time together, sir. I'm so glad you got to stop by. And I definitely want to recommend those resources to our listeners. One, checking out Pints with Aquinas. And two, I found it fascinating. And for you, if you want to share your faith with a Protestant friend, introduce them to Thomas Aquinas. And I think the book Evangelical Exodus by my friend Douglas Beaumont would be a great help for you. You can check that out online to share with others. So, Mr. Matt Frad, how can people find out more about what you are doing? And how can they, in any advice you have for them to get into the writings of St. Thomas Aquinas?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole point of Pints with Aquinas is it's meant to bring the kind of academic and the layman together, right? You've got Aquinas and a pint, for goodness sake. So if you are interested in learning more about Aquinas, you could go to my website, pintswithaquinas.com, or just subscribe on iTunes or whatever, and you could start listening there.
I like it, sir. Well, thank you so much and for being on the Council of Trent, and I will have to stop by Pints with Aquinas soon to have a drink with you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
No problem, sir. And thank you all for listening. If you'd like to continue to support the podcast, do check it out at trenthornpodcast.com. If you become a premium member, you'll get access to bonus interviews, bonus content. And if you subscribe at the higher levels, like the Nth Medal, you can do live video chats with me or submit questions for our open mailbag. Otherwise, I appreciate your shares, likes, and reviews on iTunes. And of course, your prayers. I'll be praying for you. I hope you will pray for me, Matt Frad, everyone else trying to spread the good news of Jesus Christ in the world, and I hope you all have a blessed day.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit trenthornpodcast.com.